Let me just tell this story to prepare us. So I won't even have to share long about this. I'll read the scripture and tell you why it's important for you to have this identity shaped for the kingdom of God. Let me share this story. I had the privilege to go to a military graduation ceremony a few weeks ago, and I went there, and I literally, my heart cried from the beginning of the ceremony, and after the ceremony, coming home, in my heart I was still meditating on what I was feeling. And this is it. The young man that just graduated came to see me. We prayed about it. He was going into the military, and but he was going into training. We prayed, and that's it, and he left. When I was invited to this graduation, it's just 4 months. I thought it was 6 months. 4 months. In 4 months, this young boy was not the same person that left my house 4 months ago. In 4 months, this young man was completely transformed from a civilian to a soldier. Completely. They taught them 7 principles. I can't remember all of them. One has to do with loyalty. One has to do with courage. Another has to do with respect. Another has to do with integrity. About 7 different things. But they didn't teach them to leave it in their head. They drew them 4 months of intense drilling that completely took them from the mindset of a civilian to an absolute soldier, ready to combat enemy anywhere in the world on behalf of America. I listened to them recite at their ceremony the whatever of a soldier. And I said, I am this, this is who I am. They started quoting it and reciting it and saying, to defend the nation, I am this, I'll fight an enemy anywhere in the world, da, da, da. And they started reciting who they have become. It was not knowledge to them anymore. It is really who they are now. And it was done in 4 months. When, after they finished the ceremony, we went to spend a little time with him. I was asking a few questions. He talked about how the drill sergeant, you know, how the different levels of training they went to. I mean, they wake up sometimes 4 in the morning. They go through unspeakable exercises. And then they leave that part, they go through, different levels of discipline. Different levels of training. Sometimes they have to carry this massive backpack with heavy luggage, and they walk for miles upon miles in a thick forest. And towards the end of their training, they were left to sleep outside for days. Their food was very, the kind of food you eat when you are stuck in a desert and you are in the middle of a war and you just don't have time to eat. But by the time we saw this, he was as tiny as anything, but he was as strong. He was one of the best. He was one of the guys that carries the best military weapons in the way he came out of the training. He went through, just share with me, the various levels of discipline and what it took. The way they were completely, their mind was completely changed on how to obey command, respect a military leader, obey the person above you, the authority, the way they were strong. I mean, when this brother finished, I just cried. And I started, my mind went to the Bible and to Paul and his statements about if you are to be a soldier, you cannot be entangled, be distracted by the things of this world. And then so many other things in the Bible immediately just dawned on me that it's very possible that we are, our understanding of the gospel has been greatly polluted. Because when I listened to this training they had, I looked at the whole reason why they trained them. Why did they go through that? They knew civilians are not meant for war. And they knew a civilian, just the sound of a gun, the sound of a bullet, the civilian gets into panic and runs away. The civilian is nervous. The civilian cannot go to war front. Civilians don't know how to address a blood, death situation. Civilians don't, they are not in a position to really experience what happens in a war zone. And then the life of a civilian wakes up when, you know, lives the way he wants. Everything is at his terms or at what he wants at his expense. But after they finish the training, they lost every right. They now live completely under the command of the U.S. Army. Completely surrendered. Completely under strict obedience. Why? Because the transformation of the identity from a civilian to a military cannot be head knowledge. Why? Because the training was designed so that they will go to war and come back alive, if possible. They were trained to be very comfortable in the war front atmosphere. The training they had was tailored, everything was tailored towards if they found themselves in the middle of an enemy's combat. In the middle of the worst forest, in the middle of the worst gunfire, in the middle of blood, people dying, in the middle of no food, in the middle of desert, in the middle of forest, in the midst of the river, whatever, they had to personally experience what it takes to be a soldier. So that identity shift was a decision that they made, and about 160 or something went, little less than about 100 or little above 100 made it to the end, because not everybody could endure it. So the way Jesus, the way this gospel was handed to us, there was a cost to count, because God knows that the world we are in is a fallen generation from the Adam. And God knows Satan is here. And Satan has polluted the world. He knows the power of sin. He knows what the wickedness of the heart of man can do. He knows what nations can do to secure protect their security and secure their nations. He knows what is in man. So when he made provision through his son, and came and gave us an example of what it really is to be a disciple and what it really is to be a believer, there was a cost of that to be a true discipleship. So, but now, I don't know if you see it around you, but now it's like Christianity is just do it the way you like, live the way you like, whenever you like, do things when you like, go to church when you like, pray when you like, sleep when you like. I mean, it's like, everything is on our fallen terms, on our self terms. It's not on God's term. It's not on the Holy Spirit's term. It's not on Jesus' term. So, God started dealing with me, says, there is a difference between a civilian Christian and a military Christian. There is no middle ground. There are two kinds of believers in the Bible. There are the broadway believers and there are the narrowway believers. So, as we are learning and we are being, we are waiting on the Lord as He's training us on this kingdom mindset, I want you to picture and take this illustration I just gave to you. If in 4 months, somebody who really practiced was really drilled and taken to the act of what they were taught. They paid a price. And the transformation happened. The two parts of Christianity, the narrow way and the broad way, is separated by the doers and the hearers. You know, so every great generational changer or any remnant of a people that shifted a generation back to the things of God in their generation. Look at it through the Bible. It does not make sense what they went through. They went through, read Hebrews 11 about what people went through that walked by faith. Read through the Bible, see the people that God used to make a difference. The discipline of obeying God cost them a lot. But eventually you see how God used them to turn a whole generation back to God. Like Elijah, like Moses, like all these people, like them Daniel and all these, and different people read their testimony, like them Esther and all these people. There is a cost. And there is a price. And there is a discipline of a believer. So, but today, we don't want to suffer for the cross, but we want the glory and the crown of it. And it's not working. So, the world is in the midst of the worst assault Satan can give. So now, God is awakening believers. But I'll call it a remnant. And the reason God is awakening the remnant is to restore this kingdom mindset. Is to restore this kingdom privileges through this discipleship that you are experiencing. Because how many people will stay up late like you do to listen to the word of God? How many people will pray like you pray? How many people will fast? How many people have endured the things you endure to be where you are today? So you are part of this worldwide remnant that God is raising and God is positioning and getting ready to really change things in our generation by the power of the Holy Spirit and give hope to a generation that is crying out. They are confused. They are beaten out. They are literally being overwhelmed by demonic oppression. The world is, and there's no solution. The world does not have a solution. It is your prayer. It is you rising to be who God has called you to be. To be, to take on the identity that God has called you. To be the spiritual police. To be the spiritual soldiers that will help direct the traffic of what God is doing, what's happening now towards what God wants people to experience in a generation. So I said all this to say that one, I want to thank you for your obedience. That's why you're who you are today. But I also want to congratulate you for you not have allowed the sufferings of the cross, most of the things you call disappointments, frustration, all these things to keep you from pursuing God, because everything has molded you to be a soldier for God, to be who you are in Christ today. And to pursue God the way you are still doing. So please, don't be distracted by those who live at ease in Zion. Just know that as a good soldier, God has been building your spiritual muscles by everything you've gone through. Amen? Amen. So now, transformation of identity. I was, after our all-night prayer last week, I was just waiting on the Lord, and I went to bed, and I had a dream, and in this dream, I was in the midst of, I was in a palace, and then it just, a place that reminded me of a kingdom with kings, with princes, and it was England or so. But when I woke up, the Lord started dealing with me. And he started reminding me. Not in a reminding way, but it was almost like this is the season. You must, this is the mindset you must put on in this season, in this hour, the transformation. And the scripture that he gave is this, that I started studying on it, is 1 Peter 2, I guess for time, I'll just read verse 9. He says, but you, every one of you on this line, you are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are, in other words, you carry the bloodline of kings, and you also carry the bloodline of the priesthood of Christ. You are a royal, and you are a priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a special people, a peculiar people, that you should show forth, and you should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what is happening in our generation. There is gross darkness, and God is saying, there is something that will make the people in darkness see that there is a different kingdom. There is a dark world, but there is a kingdom that manifests marvelous light. Not just light, but marvelous light. The glory of God. But in this scripture, he says, how do we reflect the light and the glory of God as a source of people coming out of darkness or seeing hope in the midst of darkness? The key in this scripture is to go back to what it says you are. It says, the way the world will know that there is light separate from darkness is that a people in a generation has to rise up and identify with who they are. And in this particular place of identity, you have to come into a realization that you are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. So that's the mindset. Revelation chapter 1 says, it says, chapter 1 verse, it says, let me read from verse 5. It says, from verse 4, it says, John to the seven churches, which are in Asia, praise be unto you and peace from him, which is, and which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, as the kingdom of God, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and to the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, and to his Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Last week, we read something about the throne room of God, you know, and just having that picture of really the throne room, the kingdom that we are talking about, the kingdom we are born into, the kingdom we are associated with. But today, he's talking about the identity that God wants us to have, the mindset he wants us to have about this kingdom. The reason is that I want to read something to you. Why it's important to have this mindset, especially in this season, this identity shift. I want to read another scripture to you. Galatians chapter 3. It says from verse 29. And if you be Christ, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Then it goes right into chapter 4 from verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a slave, though he is Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, we were sent for the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Please listen to this verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a slave, but a son. Now, if you are a son, what is the position of the sonship? He says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What is he saying here to us? What is he saying here to us? He's saying that as born again believers, we have been grafted, we've been translated into God's kingdom. That's the kingdom that we're putting emphasis on, the kingdom we talked about it too. Now that we are kingdom citizens, he said, as long as we remain babes, as long as we remain babes, he says, we will not be able to manifest our full effectiveness in our generation that will cause people to see the difference between light and darkness. What is he saying? He said, it's possible to be born again, meaning it's possible you are now translated from darkness to light. You are now translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God says, by the blood of the Lamb, we are now being adopted into a royal priesthood bloodline. That's exactly what born again is. We are being adopted into that bloodline. It's possible to be that. But Paul is saying in Galatians 4, it's possible to be born again, but still in our mind, our spirit has received transformation, our spirit carries the knowledge we have all, but in our mindset, Paul says, as long as we remain babes in our spirit, in our mindset, he says, we are like still no different from when we get born again in the world. Use the word slaves, spiritual slavery to the elements of the world. What does he mean? He says when he was under, he says while we were in the world, we were under the elements and that of the world until transformation came and now we are sons. And if we are sons, what does he mean? Elements of the world. It means that if we don't change our identity, or there's no transformation for our mindset to be in conformity, in alignment with who we are spiritually, then it means God is saying we are in the world, but we cannot influence the world. We can be Christians in the world, we can enjoy the privilege of going to heaven, but we cannot influence anybody. We cannot change anybody's culture, way of life, thinking pattern, because our thinking pattern is just like the world. We are still influenced by the elements, by the culture, by the system, by the atmosphere of the culture we live in the world. If our mindset is not changed, he's saying we cannot reflect, we cannot be light, even though we carry light. How can that be? But that's exactly what he said. So Paul explained it. He says, there is a training we have to go through. Because if we remain as children, he says our mindset is still like we're in Egypt. We're still struggling like the world. We cannot see them come out of their situation because we don't think we've come out of our situation. Paul said, we're still the same. We're like slaves. But there's a school we have to go to. There's a training we have to go to, as he explained, until the appointed time set by the Father. He said, when we finish with that school, there's a transformation that takes place inside of us, but then there is a transformation that has renewed our mindset to the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? we are in this world, but we don't think like men. We are now using the word of God as our thinking pattern, because that lines up with who we are in the spirit, and that's faith. So Paul is explaining, he says, when we come to that sonship, it's not, you see, so when you study the scripture very well, you see something where you use the word son. Some of them, when you click it, it's really talking about you being a child, like Paul here differentiate. But some sonship is talking about you being a matured son. You've entered into that maturity, that perfect, that place of growth. You're no more babes, but you're now, you've exercised so many things and you become matured in the Lord. So that's what Paul is referring to. He says, now that you are son, when you come to that place where your mind has been renewed, that you are now walking by faith. And walking by faith means you are now in agreement with who you are on the inside, that God says you are. So when you get to that place, then you now are able to accept your position in the spirit. And when you accept your position in the spirit, then the spirit of God is able now to use you to influence the culture in the physical world. What does that mean? When you accept the place of sonship, then Paul shifted the next step. He says, now that you are a son, you are no more a slave. You overcome the mindset. Now, you don't just overcome the mindset of not being a slave, but you change the mindset to being an heir. That word heir means a ruler. Ruler means you are now a king. Not you, a king to who? You are now a ruler in the spiritual realm. And once you rule in the spiritual realm, then you are able to change things in the natural realm. Everything you see today in the physical are dominated from the spiritual realm. Everything happening today in America, anywhere in the world, originates from the spiritual realm. Human beings don't rule the earth. Spirits rule the earth, but they use human beings. That's why God has to use us to overthrow and establish and reveal hope and deliverance in the earth. But if we don't come to the place of maturity, we are not able to allow the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit says, this is who you are, this is what I can do with you, and your mind is saying, no, I'm a slave, I'm this. If God says you're rich, and you see your point. God says you keep repeating who you are not, and God saying this is who you are. You cannot, God cannot really exercise what he wants to do through you the way he should. So that's why God is saying in these last days, in this season, he wants to focus our understanding on the kingdom. So as we are now embracing understanding of the kingdom, then we start understanding the principles of the kingdom, and then we start understanding the identity of the kingdom, and then we start understanding the authority of the kingdom in relation to the sons and daughters, you know. So it's not just say, I'm born again, I'm a Christian, I have a good job, I have it. No. God wants us to be his hands and his feet in the place of dominion over the earth. That's how this situation is able to be solved. In the Old Testament, God used people like Joseph. When the world was in crisis, he used people like Joseph to give direction, to bring solution. He used people like Daniel in the Old Testament to bring solution, to bring direction to a generation that is gone astray. But in our time, by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, God wants to use the church, the body of Christ, you and I. But we have to come to that where we're not tossed to and fro by all these things that are happening, by all the deceptiveness of our very, very deceiving teachings, but to come into that understanding of sonship. And then not stopping at sonship. But who are you as a son? A ruler. And that's exactly what it means to be a royal priesthood. Now, how do we attain to that? How do we transform our mindset to fit what it's talking about? Really quickly, the best way God has been working in me, and the way one major principle has been drilling in me, and I've been applying, and it's working, and I'm growing and learning, is Joshua. The book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. The principle is right here. You know, Joshua, God told Joshua, arise, get up, Moses is there, this is what you gotta do. You're gonna take this land, you're gonna give it to the people. This is how it's gonna work. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Out of thy mouth. Everything is about what you say. But what you say has to line up with what God is saying. But how can you speak what God is saying about you and about the situation if that thing is not who you are? How can it be who you are if it's not inside of you? So this is what God has said for Joshua to do. He said, this book or the word of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. How does it not depart? But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's the key. Is identity transformation. Say, Joshua, when you have given you a commission, you are going into a land, you're going into a city with walls, you're going into a land that is fortified with soldiers. There's going to be room for discouragement and all kinds of things. But I'm telling you, because of the promise and the covenant I have with you, all the way from Abraham to Moses, passed down to you, you are going to possess that land. You're going to take it. But first of all, there has to be a mind change. There has to be a complete mindset different from who you think you are. You have to have the mindset. What that mindset? It has to be the word of the Lord. How do you have the word of the Lord? See, you have to meditate. You have to make the word of God your mirror. You have to meditate. That's what you have to see. You have to meditate on that word day and night. In other words, I just read a scripture to you. First Peter 2:9. You take that scripture and you memorize it. And you take that scripture and you chew it day and night. If you quote that scripture to yourself in the morning, in the night, in the evening. In the morning, in the night, in the evening. In the morning, in the night. And you keep saying, but, and you're customizing it to who you are. You confess it. You pray it. You stand on it. Because of the season we are in, and because of all that you've been doing, that word, after a while, will begin to change your thinking. It's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. But you have to, anyway, okay, basically this exercise, this discipline, the same thing God told David in the book of Psalms, that when you meditate on something, it transforms your mind, it renews your mind to come in conformity, agreement with who you are. So that's the principle we have to maintain. That's one principle, but that is powerful principle for changing your identity in your mindset. And we have to have that. Why? Because, just like God told Joshua, when you're going into, my brothers and sisters, we are being commissioned into a generation, like the days of Noah, like the days of Lot, and their gross wickedness. And God has prepared something great for us. But we have to enter into it, the mindset of rulers, and the mindset of just like the soldier. We have to come out of our civilian mindset in church into a military mindset. And the exercise is what God gave to Joshua here. That's one aspect of changing our mindset. We'll continue next week. But my brothers and sisters, the only way that soldier boy was able to be trained was because he knew that he's going to go to the war and he's going to be in the middle of war and he has to be trained and be ready for it. We cannot face this generation with a slave mentality. We cannot face this generation with an insecure poverty mentality. We cannot face this generation with an unrighteous mentality. We have to face this generation knowing who we are, and we must repeat that to ourselves constantly and must believe that's who you are. And that's how we are able to move forward and be what God wants us to be in this season. Father, I thank you for what you are doing. Father, you know the end from the beginning. If human beings, American generals, care that much, to prepare human beings and train them from civilians to military so that they will be able to have victory and come back to their family. Father, we should be able to trust you. That you who knows exactly the battle out there, you who knows the spiritual war, you are the one that has given us this discipline. That if we will just obey and do what your word says, then we will see and reap the provisions of your promise. Thank you that you're doing it. And thank you, our generation will see your glory. Our generation will see your power like never before. Our generation will see a remnant of people that will reflect your glory, will show forth your praises in this hour and in this time. We thank you, everyone on this line. What you are speaking, you are impacting into their life. So shall it be for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Amen. My brothers on the line, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Obi, thank you so much. We are royal priesthood. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Yes. Let's take a moment and pray, my Lord. This is something to serve the Lord above. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.